I had Drover's full attention.
What did he do?
Well, let me think. Oh, yes. He looked down at you and licked his chops, almost as though he were thinking of eating you, Drover.
Oh, my gosh! It's a good thing I didn't wake up. I'd have died, Hank. Just died. What did he do then?
Well, he didn't eat you.
Oh, good!
Instead, he saw the three bones between your paws. He glanced over both shoulders, snatched them up with a big hairy hand, and lumbered off to the northwest. By this time, Drover had crawled underneath his gunny sack bed. Nothing showed but his stubbed tail.
Where do you reckon he went? And do you think he'll come back?
I'm guessing that he went to Spook Canyon, Drover. That's about the spookiest place on the ranch. And as to whether he'll be back, we just don't know the answer to that one. I could see the gunny sack shaking.
I'll never be able to sleep again, not with him running around.
I guess the next question is, do you want to send a scout patrol into Spook Canyon and try to recover your bones? He poked his nose out the west side of the gunny sack. I could just barely see one of his eyes.
Who'd be in the scout patrol?
The entire amassed forces of the security division, Drover. Or, to put it another way, you. His nose and eye vanished.
You know, Hank, the way this old leg's been acting up, I probably better stay close to the gas tanks.
Yes, that's what I thought.
And bone monsters have to eat too, just like the rest of us, and maybe if he has steak bones to eat, he won't be trying to eat us.
I caught myself smiling. Good point, Drover. I hadn't thought of that. So what you're saying is that you're willing to drop the whole thing and not file charges in the case.
Oh, yeah, you bet. I was never so happy to lose three bones.
Bingo. My net worth had just zoomed into the stratosphere. I was now the sole owner of three of the best bones in Texas. And Drover was happy about it. What a deal. Well, whatever you think, Drover. It's your life and they were your bones. And by the way, can you come out now? The bone monster left 30 minutes ago. His nose appeared.
Oh, I think I'll just stay here for a while longer, just in case. My leg needs a rest anyway.
Fine, but I'll expect you to be ready for night patrol. We'll move out at 1800 hours, sharp.
Night patrol? What about the bone monster?
Sure, invite him to come along. The more the merrier.
Oh, my leg!
I left him quivering under his gunny sack and went on about my business. I felt great. It was a beautiful spring morning, and I had three wonderful bones in the bank. What more could a dog ask of this old life? I headed up the hill, past the yard gate, past the machine shed, through the shelter belt, and onward and northward to the county road. It had occurred to me, don't you see, that I hadn't worked traffic in several days, and that was too long. I hate to let traffic slide, but sometimes it can't be helped. I get so busy with investigations and monster reports and so forth that I can't do a thorough job with traffic. And I always regret it. I mean, when you skip a few days of barking cars on the county road, those guys get to thinking it's their road, and they'll start driving like mechanics. Maniacs, I guess it is. They start driving like maniacs, hogging the road, expending the speed limit, and disregarding all our rules and regulations. Well, you know where I stand on those issues. I don't allow them. And the sooner those guys figure it out, the happier we'll all be. Imagine my surprise when I topped that little hill north of the house and saw two unidentified pickups parked on the side of the road. My road, that is. They appeared to be just sitting there, using my road as a parking lot. And I guess you know that I don't allow such things, especially when the guilty parties don't have permission. The farther I went, the madder I got. Those guys would pay dearly for this. Even though I had just made a killing in the bone market and was now a fabulously wealthy dog, I was in no mood to be generous. By George, if they wanted a free parking space, they could go somewhere else. As I drew closer, I began sifting clues and memorizing tiny details. It was two pickups, all right. One red and one white. The red one was parked behind the white one, and the driver of the red one had gotten out and was standing beside the white one. They appeared to be talking. The drivers, not the pickups. The drivers appeared to be talking. I could hear the low murmur of their voices. That was a pretty important clue right there. They were murmuring. Why would two drivers of two pickups be murmuring to each other on the side of a county road on a pretty spring day? It struck me as pretty fishy, and I had every intention of getting to the bottom of the barrel. 50 yards out, I fired off a warning bark. Sometimes that'll send them fleeing in terror. I mean, once they realize that they've been caught in the act by the head of ranch security, a lot of these loafers and deadbeats will quit the country, never to be seen again. That's not what they did. Instead, they... Well, I couldn't see that they did much of anything, actually, which provided me with another important clue. Those guys had no idea who or whom they were fixing to go up against. And maybe they weren't real smart on top of that. By this time, I had abandoned all hope of settling this thing in an easy or peaceful manner. Obviously, I would have to kick tails and take names and maybe even tear a few doors off a few pickups. I hated to be so drastic about it, but some guys just don't take hints. I rumbled up to the first pickup, which happened to be the red one in the rear. The rear of the pickup was red, but so was the front. It was red all over, in other words, but it... Phooey. I rumbled up to the second pickup in line. I chose it at random for no particular reason. As far as I was concerned, one was just as guilty as the other. Without wasting a single second of my time, I marched straight to the right rear wheel and proceeded to mark it with secret encoding fluid. Once we have sefed a tire, we feed the secret coding information into data control. For days and weeks thereafter, we can call up a SEF report and trace the location of every tire of every vehicle we have sefed. Pretty snazzy, huh? Maybe you thought this was a sharecropper outfit, staffed by a couple of dimwit dogs. Ha! Far from it. Over the years, we have upgraded our equipment and brought in the very latest up-to-date high-tech instruments that help us in our never-ending battle against who or whomever it is that we're against. The villains of this world, the slackers and the trespassers, cattle rustlers and road hogs, and the list goes on and on. On most of your ordinary ranches, your ordinary ranch dogs merely mark the tires. Not us, fellers. We encode them with secret encoding fluid, and suddenly and all at once, I had a feeling, a strange, creepy feeling, that I was being watched. I rolled my eyes upward. Sure enough, there was the face of a dog staring down at me. While continuing to set the tire, I began memorizing every detail of the alleged face. How many dogs can do both those jobs at once? Very few. It requires tremendous powers of concentration because if you happen to get the two tasks mixed up, well, it could lead to water on the brain. I lifted my eyes, and here's what I saw. Two big sad eyes, one mouth, one nose, two long floppy ears. If I had been forced to give a quick analysis of the face, I would have guessed that it belonged to some kind of hound dog, either a basset or a beagle. I finished up the SEF procedure, scratched up some gravel with my front paws. That gravel scratching seems to help set or fix the encoding fluid, and turned my full attention to the trespasser in the pickup. I broke the long, icy silence. You seem to be staring at me, fella. Is there some reason for that?
Well, I was just a-wondering what you were doing down there, I guess, is why I was staring. Are you wetting down the tires?
It may appear that's what I'm doing, but in fact of actuality, it's quite a bit more complicated than that.
Oh, well, I probably wouldn't understand it then. I'm kinda slow.
Yes. I had already picked up that clue that he was slow, to use his word. And suddenly I had the feeling that... Say, pal, haven't we met before?
Yup, sure have. Name's Ralph. They call me Dog Pound Ralph, 'cause I stay at the Dog Pound. You visited me twice at the pound.
I began pacing. Yes, of course. It's all coming back to me now. Don't you see what this means? You're Dog Pound Ralph!
Well, that's what I thought.
Yes, yes, of course. I knew I'd seen you before. Your face, the mournful eyes, the drooping jowls, they all add up to you, Ralph, and they will never add up to anyone else.
Good, I reckon.
You might recall, Ralph, that I'm the guy who broke you out of prison and saved you from a miserable existence as a jailbird.
Yep. Either that or I broke you out 'cause you had just eat a bar of soap.
No, you're wrong, Ralph. I had been poisoned by my enemies. They had plotted to poison me with a deadly hydrophobia virus.
It was soap, you dope. Your sister fed you soap 'cause you wouldn't take a hint and go home.
Would I just stand there and take this kind of insult from a jailbird dog who was trespassing on my ranch? You'll soon find out.